We have brought back a very important guest because he can tell us stories about the weather, because everyone talks about the weather. When you're at an
plus, we've gotten so much response from our audience in our first interview with Dave. And honestly, I thought it was one of the best interviews that we've ever done, because most of the time we have guests that don't know what they're talking about. But in this case, we have Dave Phillips, who has 50 years experience in climatology. Yes, he's only 55. He started when he was five. No. But he has 50 years experience. And this is the type of guest that I think is wonderful, because we're asking him questions from all over the board as far as environmental and climatology. And he's the man to go to. Well, Nick, you can go through the awards that he's won. I mean, it's amazing.
And I will. And Dave, thanks. And welcome back to the show. Thanks for coming back.
Well, thank you. Roy could be my agent, a 10%er for me.
Wow. Well, see, I was starting to say, like, everyone talks about the weather. And when you're in an awkward situation, you're like, boy, it's hot out there, huh? Or boy, there's a storm coming. Like, the weather is always something that's top of mind. And it, as much as you have the weather on the radio or television, it's really easy to forget, because here's the 5-day forecast. And then next, you know, it's like, wait a minute, what's happening on Wednesday? And you forgot what's happening, you know, later that afternoon. So weather is really, really a really popular topic. So we thought, let's bring Dave Phillips back on and talk about, last time we talked about weather myths. Now, Dave, how many weather stories would you estimate that you've compiled over your 50 years plus?
Well, I would say at least 30,000 plus. Some of them are real head shakers and clear your hair. Others are saying, wow, I knew tornadoes did that. And here's another example of it. People send me stories. I have to verify them. We have over 8 billion records in our archives with Environment Canada. So I can check to see whether a storm did occur on that occasion. But hey, I think it's very... to me, it's entertaining. I think I learn a lot. I love to look at stories from the past and really, gee, wow, I've been invited to more wine and cheese parties to regale people about the weather history of our past. And you know, we want to hear about stories not in Toronto or Ottawa or Washington. We want to hear about it from our own hometown and how we have seen and we've survived. I've got a couple that I'd love to share with you. Sure. I mean, hard to break down only three or four of a list of 30,000, but
we have time. We have lots of time. We'll use this. Okay. I mean, you know, we can set up a cot. We're ready to go. No, you can start with one of your favorite. Like, if someone came to you, okay, say, hey, what's the most favorite weather story you love to
your
tell?
Your all time, yeah. Your
well,
all time.
You know, I mean, we are in Canada. We are the snowiest country in the world. No question about it. We're the second coldest, but we're the snowiest. And our average precipitation for the year, well, 39% of it is snow. The world's average is 6%. So there are many people in the world have never even made a snowball, but every Canadian has. But one of my favorite stories is the snowiest day in Canadian history. Now, right now, the record is about 145 centimeters or 57 inches of snow that fell in February in a place in British Columbia, Tatsik Lake, 145 centimeters. But before that was back in 1999. But before that, the all-time record was less. It was about 112 centimeters or 44 inches of snow. And it fell in a place in southwestern Alberta in the sort of Waterton Lakes National Parks area. But it was the date it occurred that is most spectacular. 1963. June 29th, 2 days before Canada Day, came the heaviest snowfall in Canadian history. And I said, I'd love to have been there to watch Americans wake up to find snow to the tip of their tent poles, wondering why they didn't go to Mount Rushmore for their summer holidays. There it is. In the middle of summer, we got what we're famous for is all the snow. And so that was, and again, it's the fact that you get warm air and moist air, but cool enough to cause snow, and you get a big dump of snow. But I have another snow kind of survival story that is kind of neat. Okay. There was a farmer, a hog farmer northeast of Edmonton, who lost a market-sized hog during a blizzard back in 1956. So he couldn't find the hog. The hog just went and disappeared. Well, 3 months later, the farmer was digging around where he thought the hog trough was, and he noticed the snow moving. And so he dug down deeper, and out came the pig. It had been hibernating there for 3 months, 93 days. Now, it had weighed 243 pounds on entering the snowbank, but it now weighed about 75 pounds. But when it got up, it kind of, you know, staggered a bit and then walked to the pig shed like nothing had happened.
Wow.
Now, Dave, can you please tell us exactly where that was? Because Nick and I can make a fortune bringing fat people, excuse me, I don't want to say the word fat people, rotund people, husky people. We can bring them up there, put them in the snow, come back 3 months later, and they'll have lost all their weight.
And then ask for bacon and eggs for breakfast.
Exactly.
Now, one of the many accolades and awards that Dave has won, including the Order of Canada, that must have been a really high honor, because I think that is the highest civilian honor that one can receive in Canada. Is that correct?
Well, I think it is. I was very really overcome with pride and thinking of all of the, and if just a government employee who loves weather and puts things together to entertain and educate Canadians can get an award like that, well, it's available to anybody in Canada. So I felt very honored. It was about year 2000. It was by Adrian Clarkson, who was the Governor General at that time. And what was, you know, you were about 100 people getting the award on that occasion. I always remember that. It was in her residence in Ottawa. As I was walking up to her and to pin the medal on you, and I thought, well, what is she going to say? And she's going to say, oh, you must be very proud of yourself. So she said, I believe everything you say. And I thought, and so I said, oh, I fooled another one. I shouldn't have said that, but it was just a wonderful moment.
Oh, you know, Dave, if you go to Nick's house, Nick keeps all his important awards up. Like, for instance, in his award thing is the star that he got in kindergarten.
And Roy, you can attest to this, because Roy and I have been friends for 40 plus years. Heaven only knows why or how, but we are nonetheless. So yeah. I think you remember this, Roy. At one time I was extremely interested in meteorology, and you thought for sure that I would get into meteorology and be a weather person on television. I was so interested in the radio in my mid to late teens and early 20s, actually, that everyone thought I was going to become a meteorologist. So yes. I was interested. Wow. When did you get that weather bug? When did you know that science and meteorology was something you wanted to spend your life doing?
You know, I'd be honest with you. I was born in Windsor, Ontario, which is the lightning capital of Canada. More lightning days. It doesn't get as many as Tampa, Florida does, but for Canada, lots of lightning up here. Yeah. So, but I would like to tell you, I had instruments in my backyard. No, I wanted a job. And I thought of coming from Windsor, you know, smaller town, but going to the city of Toronto, the big smoke. I thought, so I had an offer from Environment Canada. And so I took it. And 50 years now, I had two jobs in my lifetime. It was a room service at the Banff Springs Hotel. And then I've been a climatologist for 50 years. So I always felt I had something to fall back on if the weather business got a little rough.
No, yeah. I think you did okay. Now, you wrote several books, and I think one of the titles is Did Niagara Falls Ever Go Dry? And I think, like, Roy and I were talking about having you on the show, and he said, you know, I've heard this sort of expression or story, Did Niagara Falls Ever Go Dry? So you wrote a book about it. You've obviously named the book after this. So we'll ask you point blank, did Niagara Falls ever go dry?
It did. I mean, we've seen the American Falls dried up a couple of times because the U.S. Corps of Engineers turned it off to repair the rocks underneath. But this is the Canadian Falls, the Horseshoe Falls, 10 times the size of the American Falls. And back in 1848, on the last days of March, people in Niagara Falls woke up. And it wasn't from the roar of the falls. It was the silence of the falls. Oh. The falls had turned off. And people from Buffalo and from Hamilton, they came down in droves to watch this incredible wonder of the world gone dry. People walked out on the riverbank and into the dry riverbed. You could see some of the pools of water and fish and other animals just floundering in the water. But there was even a U.S. cavalry walked up the dry riverbed, and people picked up muskets and bayonets and tomahawks from the War of 1812 as souvenirs. There was even a group of people took timbers that were submerged under the falls and made furniture of it later on. And so the churches were filled. Back then, when you couldn't explain what had happened, people thought it was the end of the world. It was clearly divine intervention. You were not living the good life, and you had to come to grips with it. And
meantime, it was Nick who stuffed up a toilet.
Well, it was a stuffing up, exactly, because 30 hours later, somebody could hear that sound, and the falls resumed itself. What had happened, guys, was in Lake Erie on the sort of the neck into the Niagara River, the ice had broken up and had wedged in there and had blocked the flow of Lake Erie. Well, back then, there's no meteorological service. There's people didn't really know about it. It was a distance away. And so they
and
had
what year was this?
1848, yeah. March the 29th. But March the on April the 1st, the falls resumed itself, and people went back to a normal living.
A very special guest from Environment Canada's Dave Phillips. We're talking about some really interesting weather stories. So
I think one of my favorite kind of classics or genre of kind of weather stories are things that fall from the sky. And I think it's sort of interesting. I've had stories of fish falling from the sky and birds and that. And
we have lizards down.
That's right, exactly. Yeah. I've heard of that in Florida. And but back in 1920, when it rained in Calgary, but it rained frogs in Calgary, and it was on 11th Avenue in downtown Calgary, and of course the cats loved it because these were like fresh fish to the local cats, and nobody was an eyewitness to it, so they wondered how it occurred. But what we determined, it was some kind of a dust devil, a whirlwind, a water spout, some kind of a wind event, maybe a tornadic event, that picked up these creatures from a wetland and would carry them over, and then when the winds died down, it just dropped these creatures on the streets of Calgary back then. So these things happen, and they've occurred. I remember one other story I thought that was really fascinating was in Elgin, Manitoba, back in 1932. There were a flock of geese flying over this little town. And this was in April. And what happened, they were hit by a lightning bolt. The lightning bolt hit them, and 52 wild geese fell to the ground. What did the people do? Well, some of them that were salvageable, they picked them up and distributed them among the people there in the town, and they had goose dinner. Very resourceful. Back there during the Depression years, people were just took advantage of everything.
You don't have to tell Nick that, Dave. He picks up roadkill all the time.
Okay.
You know, it's interesting you say that because I was going to say jokingly, well, did they have nice goose dinner? But they did.
They did.
Yeah. Because
yeah, but see, Dave thinks everything's attributed to the weather, you know, Nick. I mean, Moses didn't have a problem. He said frogs, and the frogs just came, you know.
Well, these birds weren't defeathered, but they were nicely barbecued.
Yes.
They were already cooked.
That's right.
Yes, and that, you know, maybe that's where the expression "your goose is cooked" came from.
Thank you, Nick. Yeah. I've often wondered about that.
I would have put a little marshmallow and a graham cracker.
So I can have some s'more.
It's a gore. It's a gore. Because it's a goose.
You're listening. Oh, right. Of course. You're listening to Totally Useless Information with Nick and Roy, in case you were wondering. A very special guest from Environment Canada. This is Dave Phillips. We're talking about some really interesting weather stories. And I think, Roy, you had a question for Dave, because we gave you a homework assignment for this one.
Yeah. What is the most terrifying day in Canada?
No, it's not my birthday in 1963. I beat you to it, Roy. It's not that day.
It was the day that Nick came back to Canada from the States.
It's another one of sort of ancient times, 1819, I think, qualifies as the most terrifying day. And because people couldn't explain what had happened. This was in Montreal, population, maybe about 15,000 people living in Montreal at that day. And so the day began with a kind of pitch black in the early morning. By noon, it was just as dark as it would be at midnight. And of course, we've seen those lately with fires and smoke from distant forest fires. And this was very, very dark. People lit candles and offices had to have lighting to see. And there was a soapy, sudsy kind of rain that fell at this time that had kind of a sooty dirtiness to it that people thought was kind of unusual. And then suddenly there was a tremor across the city of Montreal. So this darkness and then this soapy, sudsy rain and then a tremor that the ground shook and people were headed to the church, to the Notre Dame Church in downtown Montreal. And there were almost 900,000 people had assembled there. And then all of a sudden, a thunderstorm occurred. This was November. Thunder, it can occur every month, but it's not often there in November. And lightning started the church on fire. And then an hour later, a lightning bolt, the biggest ever described, hit the spire on the church, and the iron cross melted and fell to the ground. People thought the world was coming to an end. They could not explain these three or four unrelated things, but they all could be explained. First of all, it was the darkness, was forest fires that occurred in northern Quebec. We've seen that this year and in other parts of Canada, and the smoke came in and just darkened the skies. We saw the soapy sudsy, it's full of ash and cinders and that kind of thing. And when it rained, it happened to rain, it would take that impurities and bring it to the ground. Montreal is in an earthquake zone. And so having an earthquake occurred, it wasn't a big one, but it was enough to shake everybody. And then to have this incredible lightning event, which again occurs, but this fact that it hit the church where everybody was assembled and hit the spire and knocked it down, people really truly thought they were not living the good life.
That's a really good explanation, Dave, but I have to stop you for 1 second and you see if my explanation might be better. Okay. God woke up that morning and said, I am so bored. I'm going to mess with Montreal.
I am sure that was thought of there back then, Roy.
Let's
people
shake
used
things
that
up
as a real explanation for this most terrifying day in Canadian history.
Yeah, and it worked. I think it worked really well, if you ask me.
Yeah, but think about it. How perfect was that? You scare the living hell out of the people. They all run to church, and then you blow the church up. I mean, that's really scary.
There's a Hollywood plot, huh?
Yeah, right.
So, Dave, as we leave you today, we can go on and on. I think we're going to commission you to another episode at some point down the line. We really enjoyed our time with the previous episode, and even
in fact, Dave, would you take Nick's place?
No, no, I'm not as quick as Nick. I think really impressed me of this is not scripted. This is you guys coming up with this on words that somebody talks about. I think that all the writing is here, guys.
Well, thank you.
Well, we're so useless, Dave. Yeah. We're
making a living out of it. But yeah, and you know, everyone's talking about artificial intelligence, and I have to make this declaration because I have to once a show. Everyone is talking about artificial intelligence. In fact, some podcasters are actually using artificial intelligence, AI, to write their show. We can guarantee that this show is 100% artificially intelligent free.
We have a new term. It's called AS, which is artificially stupid.
No, the stupidity is real. But use this information. Dave, you wrote a Canadian weather trivia calendar. Is that still available by chance?
No, you know, it went for 33 years. It was the most popular calendar sold in Canada. Even outsold the Playboy calendar, which shows you what our priorities are in this country.
Yeah, those
not
naked
in
clouds.
This house, Dave, not in this house.
Right. Boy, pictures of naked clouds, man. Look at it. Boy, that was really cumulus, if you know what I mean.
That's a problem too, Dave, because the tornado and the hurricane is coming and you're just sitting there staring at the calendar.
Oh, I should be heading for the basement.
Miss June, can you help me through this tornado?
Although you're right, Dave, it'll give you something to read while you're in the basement.
Or in the bathroom. the bathroom.
But I'm sure you check out any of Dave's bestsellers, The Day Niagara Falls Ran Dry, and Blame It on the Weather, among other things. So Dave Phillips from Environment Canada, you can check him out. Google him and you'll find all kinds of interesting information about this.
And Dave, I got to tell you, we've had some amazing guests. We've had a guy that was living underwater for 100 days. He's a scientist.
Wow.
And he actually did a show with us while he was underwater, which is, is just so cool. And
we asked him, could you describe it? Actually, it's a pod that you got to rent out like a hotel. He says, it's not the 5-star hotel. So I basically said to him, so what you're telling us, doctor, is that it's a dive.
but we've had some really interesting guests, and I have to say, we ask the guests questions and so on and so. But you are the most knowledgeable person I think that we've ever had on the show, and that scares me because. We're totally useless.
Well, Dave, it's been an absolute joy to spend more time with you. Thank you so much for your time. We really,
Nick, can I stop you for a second, Nick?
Why stop now, Roy? We want to thank you. And you know what? You still are a teacher, even though you didn't go into that in full time. But I think you've enlightened us, even though we call it useless information. I think it was really interesting and intriguing stories. And you look up to the skies and always be aware of your surroundings around you and just be aware of what's going on and you'll be safe. You be safe, Dave. Thank you very much again. And we're looking forward to speaking to you sometime soon. Dave, thanks again for joining us on Totally Useless Information with Nick and Roy.
Thank you guys so much.